Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here. We have some visitors with us. One of the greatest compliments we can get as a congregation is getting a visitor for a second time. And Rob is with us again. He was here earlier this year and is back with us again. We've got some people from the Houston area. We're glad to have them. Before we get started, Don has requested a prayer, and RC and Carolyn have requested a prayer. Don says he's requesting prayers as he attempts to make decisions going forward regarding his work life, and he wants to make wise decisions. Don't we all? But and RC and Carolyn would like prayers. They're going to be traveling again starting tomorrow. So let's go to God in prayer before our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We thank you that we can come to you and approach your throne with prayer. We thank you for listening to us. Dear God, we come to you on behalf of Don. He's got some decisions to be facing here in the next little bit, and he's wanting to make sure he makes the right decisions. Dear God, as with everything we do, all of us, let us always try to see how we can best serve you and how that equates in to the decisions that we make. Be with Don, and regardless of the route he goes, let him continue to be a strong Christian and serve you in spite of the circumstances in his life. Dear God, we also ask that you be with RC and Carolyn. We're thankful for them. We're thankful that we can, even though that they've moved away from the Las Vegas area, that we can still have contact with them. We ask prayers for their safety. We also ask blessings on them in regards to their work situation and that they find steady employment. Dear God, our lesson today is about thanks to you, and we just above and beyond all thank you for all the blessings that you give us in our lives. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, and we pray through your Son Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at the concept today, kind of appropriate with what's coming up this Thursday. We're going to look at Thanksgiving. For us as Christians, Thanksgiving is a daily occurrence. I hope we never go more than a day without taking time to thank God for and acknowledging and just being aware of the blessings that we have in our lives. It is so easy to get caught up with all the negative. It really is. When all it takes is to look out your window or to turn on TV, there is no shortage of hardship in the world. There is no shortage in our own individual lives of things going on. But let us never overlook the blessings that God gives us each and every day. This coming Thursday, our society sets aside a day that we call Thanksgiving. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm not saying that. But Thanksgiving is not designed around football. It's not just a day off. Do we normally have a day off? Yes. And I'm glad of that. There's some exciting football games usually played on Thanksgiving. Okay? You gotta eat that pumpkin pie and carb load to get ready to go out and get all those deals on Black Friday. But it's not about that. We sometimes in our society, we put the emphasis on those things rather than what it's designed to be. I love sales. I'm a 2-for-1 guy. I love my coupons. I'm a coupon cutter. Okay? I love that. But Thanksgiving is not about sales. It's not about parades. It has become very commercialized, as with most holidays. I want us to look at some of the focus of what Thanksgiving, how it's come about. We always learn in school about the pilgrims, and I still remember drawing the turkey by outlining your hand and coloring it different, each finger different colors and all that stuff, and pilgrims and Indians and pumpkin pies and stuff like that. But the pilgrims, they came here in 1620 and landed what we call off the coast of Massachusetts. And they had a rough first year. And that next year, through hard work, through trial, tribulation, and some luck, they had a good harvest. And they set aside a day to thank God for all the blessings, to thank God for the wonderful harvest. And they celebrated it together and gave God thanks. In 1789, the year that George Washington became president, the logical choice, the only president we've ever had that won every electoral vote twice. Talk about a beloved man. He was a hero of the Revolutionary War. And in 1789, as president, he said we need to lay aside a day of public thanksgiving and prayer devoted to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Amen. He wanted his country, his people, to set aside a day to thank God for all the blessings and to never forget the source of those blessings. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln, sitting around doing nothing, had nothing to do, trying to hold our country together amidst a civil war. Our country was being ripped apart. I look at some of the turmoil going on today and I shake my head at it, but I think, it's nothing compared to what this man had to face. You had a country that was ripped apart. Over 600,000 Americans died in the Civil War. And during that great war, he wanted to set aside a day. And if I remember right, he designated it the fourth Thursday of November, to set aside during this great calamity to thank God for the blessings. Amen. In spite of what's going on all around, to set aside. I want us to just look at some scriptures. They are self-explanatory. We see the example of Jesus, the ever example of Jesus. In John 6, verse 11, this is the account where Jesus was going to feed the 5,000, the multitudes. And it says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks." This is, other people see the miracle that Jesus created. Jesus starts off this miracle by giving thanks. Amen. Thanks to God the Father, not only for the power that he has, but for the ability to be able to do this, to be able to feed the vast multitudes. And also, the example that before anything was ever done, he thanked God. Paul writes to us in Philippians, the fourth chapter, he says, "Be anxious for nothing." In this day and age, it's a little hard not to be anxious. But the more faith we have, the more we go to God in prayer, it's easier to not be so anxious. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." The fact that we can approach our Heavenly Father's throne, the fact that we can boldly approach the throne, that's thanks. That the fact that God listens to me attentively, we have thanksgiving for that. But we can cast those fears, those worries, the anxiety at God's feet. In 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18, Don read this for us earlier. Paul says, "Rejoice always." Only when things are going your way. Only when the things that you want come about. He doesn't say that. He says, "Rejoice always." Good times, hard times, in the midst of trials. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we don't do this, we will not be doing the will of Christ, the will of God. God wants us. That's one of the descriptors of being a Christian, is rejoicing always in the midst of trials, to pray without ceasing, thanking God for the good things, turning to God for strength in the bad times. 1 Corinthians 15:57, again, Paul. Not only is Paul writing all these things, but a lot of, when we think of Paul, this is the same guy that was thrown in jail numerous times, that was beaten, hauled out of the city, stoned, left for dead. This is the guy that's talking about in everything give thanks. You know, to get rid of your anxiety. He says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through all those beatings, he knew the victory came through Christ Jesus. This was left out of the outline, I noticed. This is a freebie. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." That's that sweet-smelling aroma that we offer up to God, the fruit of our lips when we pray to Him. I'd like for us to pause right now in the lesson, and I'm going to ask Tracy to come up and offer a prayer for the congregation and lead us in prayer for thanksgiving to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we are truly thankful to you just for the many things you do. We are thankful for the blessing of our families and the time we can spend with them and share our lives together. We are thankful, Father God, for the portion of health that you have blessed us with, recognizing, Father, that it could be worse. So we want to give thanks for the ability that we have and the health that we have that you have given us. Also, Father, we want to thank you for the ability to earn a living, to take care of our families, and to earn money, some, and to give back to the church. And not just to buy things, Father God, but sometimes we overlook the more simple things, like just being able to have the ability to fix a flat tire or change a car battery without being in financial ruin. It is a blessing to be able to, when those things happen, to have the means to fix those things too. We just thank you for that, Father. And we thank you for many other things that are just mundane that we sometimes don't take time out to thank you for. Thanking you for just keeping us in your providential care. We thank you, Father, for the brethren. We thank you for the ability and the opportunity to fellowship with each other, where we can share our lives and encourage each other to continue to walk worthy in the faith. But most of all, Father God, we thank you for Jesus the Christ, who is our Lord, and that grace and mercy that you extended to us through him. We just thank you for all these things. Thank you for keeping us in your providential care. Thank you for all that you do and continue to bless us with. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Tracy. I look at some of the prayers that Paul described in the New Testament, and a lot of the times he prays for the brethren, not for himself, not to get out of the jams that he's in, not to get out of jail, hey, my next whipping could it be a little bit less than last time? None of that. A lot of Paul's prayers, not extensively, but many of them are due to praying for the brethren. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." I tell you, that those verses right there would be a good lesson. That alone right there is a good sermon. So don't be surprised down the road if we have a little lesson on that, where he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. That's what he's thanking God for. And he's thanking God on behalf of other Christians. He's acknowledging what they do. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul writes that he doesn't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul prayed for others more than he ever prayed for himself. He prayed for his brothers and sisters. He prayed for the church. In Colossians 1, verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." I wonder what boost of confidence they received when they received that letter from the Apostle Paul that he is praying for them. It must have given them a great boost emotionally and spiritually to realize the Apostle Paul prays for us individually. Got a picture there, something that you probably see every day and maybe don't give much thought of. We pass by it before we come in. It's the members of our congregation. Paul prayed for fellow Christians. I look at that board and I think of the various stories, the various trials that those people have gone through. I think of the great accomplishments they enjoy. I think of the challenges and how many of them, we've gone through it together. We've rejoiced at the accomplishments together. We've lifted each other up at some of those times you didn't know if you'd make it another day. And then I think of some of the people that have gone through things and have never shared and have had to go through it alone except with God. I'd like to call Preston up and offer a prayer on behalf of the church. Not only the church worldwide, but for our congregation. For us. Preston?
Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can call you our Father. We're thankful that we can be called your children. Father, we pray this morning for your church, for your kingdom, for your church worldwide, the message that's being spread. We're thankful that message is able to go out into the world. The same message that we had in the first century church as it traveled through the churches of Asia, the same message today still rings true to this world. Mm-hmm. Father, we're thankful for the light that it is to our steps, the light that it is to our path. We're thankful, Father, that we have the opportunity to be a light to a lost and dying world. And we ask that your church may continue to grow and to spread and to be strengthened in hope and encouragement of brotherly love. But Father, we're also thankful for this local congregation here. The congregation in which we work, the congregation in which we come together to worship you weekly. Father, we thank you for the various members of this body who work so diligently. We're thankful for our song leaders. We're thankful for our Bible class teachers who raise our children to walk righteously. We're thankful for those people who lead Bible classes Sunday morning, who take time out of their lives to study, to deliver the message of truth to us. Father, we're thankful for Bruce, who brings us the message each and every Sunday, each and every Lord's Day. We're thankful for him and Stacy and the work that they do here. We pray that all of us may continue to be encouraged to let our light shine out in the world, but also within these walls, that we might continue to admonish each other, encourage each other, and lift each other up. But Father, we also pray for those who are not physically with us this morning due to concerns that the world has at this point in time. Father, we pray for their health. We pray for their well-being. We consider the widows of our congregation, Father. May we always be willing to sacrifice and to work on their behalf, to comfort them, to strengthen them. Father, we're mindful of those who are newly married. May those among us who have had long and fruitful relationships, may they be able to be examples to them of what it means to love each other the way that Christ loved the church. Father, we're mindful of those who have young children. We're thankful for them and the strength that they have to bring their children to church, to teach them to worship you, to raise them in your truth. Father, we ask that we will continue to be an encouragement to them. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have to work with each other, to grow closer to each other, and ultimately grow closer to you. Father, we pray that we will continue to encourage one another, to build one another up. And Father, we appreciate those who diligently labor among us, for those who have charge over us in your instruction. Father, we esteem them highly in love because of their work. We're thankful for them. May we continue to live in peace with one another, with our brethren. May we admonish those who are discouraged. May we continue to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, to be patient with everyone. Lord God, we are thankful for the community that we have here among the brethren, for the love that we have for one another, for the thoughtfulness that we have. And Father, we ask that we as a body here may continue to never repay evil for evil, but to always seek after that which is good for one another and for all members of your church. Father, we're thankful that you have seen fit to build the church on Christ. We're thankful to be part of that church. We're thankful to be members of your holy temple. We're thankful for this body that you have established, knowing that it's for our benefit, that we might be able to continue to open up your word, to study it, to encourage each other, to learn from each other. And Father, we're thankful for all the brothers and sisters of this church that work so hard to make sure that your word continues to spread. We ask you to guide us, Father. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We ask you to continue to increase the bond of love in which we have. We're thankful for that. And we ask all these things through Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Preston. And in closing, I'd like us to read what Paul wrote in Colossians 3:17. He says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything that we do, let's give God the credit. And as we sit down with family, friends, and celebrate Thanksgiving Thursday, as we're shoving that one extra piece of turkey in, or piling a little bit more whipped cream on that pumpkin pie, let us remember what it's truly about and give God all the credit and glory. We never like to leave an assembly without offering the invitation to anybody. If there is anybody in the audience who has been studying the Word of God and have come to the realization that every other Christian that's ever been saved has done, kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch, "There's water, what prevents me from being baptized?" We offer you that opportunity now. If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ and need encouragement, prayers, need to repent of sins, we urge you to do so. Whatever your need, if you're looking for a church home, if you've been looking at some different congregations and would like to worship and work with us, please pick us, join our team. You know, we would love to work and worship with you here at South Valley. Whatever your need, if you'd let your needs be known, come forward and let's stand and sing.